May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know how you never seem to notice a particular make, model, or color of a car on the road until you're out car shopping or you've just purchased a new vehicle, and suddenly you notice that kind of car everywhere? That's how I feel about today's gospel and the sermon, forgiveness. Like that car, the need for forgiveness, forgiving or receiving it, is always around us. But we always don't recognize it until we have to look at it. Like we have to pay attention to cars when we suddenly need to replace ours. So a few things happened to me as I was starting the preliminary work on today's preaching. It started about 10 days ago. I was driving on a major thoroughfare, and traffic on my right had to merge into my lane. And there were three cars, so I kind of pulled back my speed to allow them to move up and slide in, which two of them did, but the third car didn't quite pull up in enough time, right? And so we're kind of side by side, and his lane is running out. So I try to pull back. He doesn't. So I speed up ahead so he can pull in behind me, which he does. And when I looked in my rearview mirror, guess what I saw? A bird. Yep, he thought I'd cut him off. Pulled in front of me, and almost all the way home, I stared at his car and his license plate. BMW 0575, by the way. It's burned in my brain. I'm sure it doesn't belong to anybody here. And it's burned into my brain because my initial reaction was, really? Really? I was PO'd. And I wrestled with feelings about that until our ways separated not long before I returned home. Yeah, anger, resentment, wanting to get the record straight, right? Go, hey, I wasn't trying to cut you off, really. Until finally, I just arrived at the point of just let it go. Who knows what was going on in his life up until that moment, right? Empty yourself, release yourself. And then a few days later, right before I went to sit down to begin assembling research and putting words to paper, poor David, he saw a t-shirt online. What did it say? Pastor, warning, pastor, what you say may be in a sermon. Fair warning, dear. I was just about to put words to paper to get the sermon started, and we got into a little disagreement, right? So I sit down to write a sermon on forgiveness, and inside I'm going, right? Settled, went back in the other room. We hugged it out. Release. Now, don't think that we're the paragon of virtue when it comes to married couples. It took us 44 years to figure that one out. And then two nights ago, I'm watching a favorite on Netflix, a whodunit show on BritBox about a pathologist going through some old cases because previous findings by a supposedly eminent pathologist had resulted in people possibly having been wrongfully accused. There were three storylines, and they all ended in the theme of forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, refusing forgiveness. Whether giving or receiving it, forgiveness permeates all of our lives. And it does so because we live in relationship with one another. And we hurt one another, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. In relationships, love hopefully abounds, but sadly, so can hurt. All kinds of hurt, emotional wounding, whether through anger, betrayal, humiliation, loss of trust, hey, fill in the blanks. If there are good qualities that people associate with Jesus' teachings, with Christianity, whether they're practicing Christians or not, I think love must be at the top of that list, right? Love one another as I have loved you. Perhaps forgiveness might come next or is right up there, but I wonder if it isn't sometimes the tougher of the two. C.S. Lewis said, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." While doing some reading and researching, I came across this great little nugget. There was a little boy who was saying his prayers, and as he went down the list of his family, asking God to bless them, he omitted his brother's name. And his mother said to him, "Why didn't you pray for Cliff?" And he said, "I'm not going to ask God to bless him. Cliff hit me." And his mother said, "Don't you remember Jesus said to forgive your enemies?" And the little boy said, "Well, that's just the trouble. He's not my enemy. He's my brother." I think we can all identify with that, right? So while thinking about forgiveness, I came to see it in the context of a triangle, right? Let's put God at one point, ourselves on another, and others on the last point, a triangle. What's that remind you of? Trinity. Through the Trinity, we are taught the importance of relationship with God and with one another. And the closer the relationship is, the greater the hurt can be, and the more difficult it can be to be reconciled through forgiveness, because relationships are complex. But we were created to be in relationship with God and one another. There are two ways to think about forgiveness and why it's important. There's theological and psychological. And one doesn't necessarily preclude the other for Christians, because they both support the idea of helping us achieve wholeness. Wholeness of our spiritual and psychological health, even our physical health. The Bible has plenty to say about holistic well-being way before all the self-help books came out. But just to keep some perspective before we go further, let's talk a minute about what forgiveness is not. It is not mean that you approve of what someone else did. It does not mean pretending that evil never took place. It does not mean making excuses for other people's behavior. It does not mean justifying evil so sin is somehow less sinful. It does not mean overlooking abuse. It doesn't mean denying that others try to hurt you repeatedly, or letting others walk all over you. It does not mean forgetting the wrong that was done. It does not mean pretending you were never hurt. It doesn't mean you must restore the relationship to what it was before, or become best friends again. It does not mean there must be a total reconciliation as if nothing ever happened. And it doesn't mean you must tell the person that you have forgiven them. They may not even know. And it doesn't mean that all negative consequences of sin are canceled. Forgiveness does not whitewash, and it certainly does not condone abuse of any kind. Now, sometimes we must ask God's forgiveness. We can hurt God. Who knew, right? How can God be hurt? Because he loves us. And for a truly contrite heart, God always forgives. For God is merciful. We're not always so good at that. And sometimes we must seek forgiveness from someone else. Sometimes we're not very good at that either. And sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. I think we can be especially bad at that. Forgiveness travels along the lines of this relationship triangle in all different directions. Except, of course, I don't think God requires our forgiveness. In today's gospel, Jesus addresses the topic of forgiveness with his disciples when Peter puts forward a question. If someone else in the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Now, Peter's just trying to show off a little bit. He thinks 7 times is pretty generous on his part. And that's because the rabbis taught you only needed to forgive someone 3 times at the most. And at the 4th time, you could do whatever you like. Jesus, of course, bests him at this and says, not 7, 77 times. And some scholars suggest it should be translated as 70 times 7. That's 490 times. Fortunately, the nuances of Greek grammar don't impact the point being made. There is no number on forgiveness. There is no 3 or 7 strikes and then you're out. These are human constructs. And we can experience the limitless capacity of God's mercy. Limitless. Then he asks nothing less of us. And Jesus expands on this in the parable that immediately follows his reply to Peter. Remember what the king did? Someone was enslaved to the king, and he needed 10,000 talents to buy his way out. And in today's money, believe it or not, that would be $50 or $60 million. Can you imagine having to pay off or work off a debt that size? 50, 60 million. What relief to have that load lifted, right? What freedom. What amazing mercy the king displayed. But did that former slave, when he could have displayed the same mercy of forgiving a massive debt to someone, and it was much less, it was some denarii, did he do the same the very first chance he got? No. Every week, at least, I hope, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And it reminds us that as God forgives our sins and trespasses, so we must forgive others. We do not only offer forgiveness for the benefit of the one who requires it, but because we have been instructed to do so, because God knows that the one who forgives is also important and needs freeing and healing. Clutching to a litany of hurts holds us back. I think of Jacob Marley's chain, right? It's kind of similar to that. Man, I'm not going to forget anything anybody's ever done to me, and I'm going to be dragging that thing around me for the rest of my life. Can't get anywhere very quickly. It victimizes us, holds us hostage, and the junk that we allow to fester inside only serves to poison ourselves. I don't know if any of you have read Anne Lamott. She's one of her books, Traveling Mercies, Thoughts on Faith. And in it, she writes, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. Theologically, our Creator doesn't want us to hitch our wagon to the ones who've hurt us. And that's what we do when we cannot cleanse ourselves of that poison. We must hitch our wagon to the one who made us and free up the space in here so it becomes available for God's inpouring of love and mercy and grace so that we can live an abundant life of wholeness and extend that abundance out into his kingdom to make the world and others whole. Paul's epistles are rife with references to forgiveness. Even in the early church, it was recognized as being a core part of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. In his letter to the Hebrews, he instructs them, see to it that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And unforgiveness is indeed a bitter root, and it can keep growing and twisting around inside of us. Instead, We must be rooted in abundance. And not so coincidentally, we're going to hear more about that in the weeks to come as we prepare to enter our stewardship campaign, which is entitled Rooted in Abundance. More of that to come, though. Christ himself not only talked the talk, he walked it. Among his final words while hanging on the torturous cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Even at that brutal earthly end of his life, his message of forgiveness rang out for those who didn't even know they needed it. Well, it's a challenge for us. I think it's summed up very nicely in this other little thing I came across. I had to chuckle. To dwell above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, that's another story. Forgiveness is challenging and difficult more often than not. It's also not a magic bullet, but it is foundational to healing, which always takes time, whether it be hearts or relationships. And if we can hold fast to that, it can be transformational. May we always be mindful of the opportunities for forgiveness and healing so that our hearts have the space, the room, for God's inpouring of love and mercy and grace. Amen.